So welcome to Bookstore Explorer, the show where we go behind the shelves with booksellers to find out what makes indie bookstores such magical places. I'm author Matt Browning, and I'm doing something very different for me today. I am taping live in store in Williamson, West Virginia at Maple Grove Books with owner Marianne Lindero. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I put her on the spot here. I've been here today doing a signing for my books, and I said, why don't we sit somewhere, and I have no script. I'm recording on my phone, but I think we'll make it work.
I think so.
So the first thing I always ask every guest is to sort of physically describe the actual space so that our listeners can kind of get a feel in their mind for what we're talking about. So tell us about Maple Grove Books. And I'll start by saying you're different because you're part of a collective of businesses in one space.
Yes.
So tell us all about that.
I am part of the collective in South Williamson, West Virginia, and we are a group of small businesses that have come together to kind of, you know, counteract the, you know, rent fees, because we're all small and we needed, you know, help. So we all come together and we kind of share the space, and everybody has their own little nook, you could say. My nook is in a corner because I wanted it to be like the corner bookstore.
And right by the front door.
Yes, right by the front
door. Nice real estate.
Yes. It's just a small, my space is 13 by 15, so it's very tiny, but it's perfect for me, especially starting out.
Do you know about how many books you carry in your space?
I have over 400 books in my very tiny little nook of a bookstore.
Now, we're sitting as we record this sort of in the middle of the space. It's a big open room, so there's some seating around that we're sitting in, but you know, there's specialty food, coffee, clothing, I see, like salsa and all kinds of products. So when did this space, the collective, open?
October 14th of 2022.
So it is very, very new. It's
yes.
A former bank building,
yeah.
I noticed from the outside. So how did you come about wanting to open a bookstore, and then how did you learn about the collective?
Well, in August of last year of 2022, I kind of, you know, I used to be a town clerk for the town of Del Barton, mm-hmm. and I kind of wanted to step away from that. Just, I'm not a big political person, so I wanted to, you know, change gears. And I've always loved books, and I've always loved everything to do with books ever since I was a kid. So I wanted to kind of get into that. I thought about being a librarian, but you know, that's not really a for me job, I guess. So then I was like, you know what, I could just open a bookstore. Why not?
Well, and librarians, that would probably mean going back to college, for
it
instance.
Would be. Or, yes. Which I did apply for classes to finish up my, I have 16 hours left for my early childhood education degree, and I was like, you know what, I could just finish it up, even though I know I don't want to be a teacher. But, you know, why not finish it up? It's 16 hours. I could probably do it in a semester.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to tell people I got kicked out of college, and that's what happened, but I didn't. My funding just fell through, so, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, well, okay, what am I going to do now? Let's open a bookstore. And that it just manifested from there. And I had some friends put me in touch with Chris and Randall, and they're the director of the Tug Valley Chamber of Commerce. And I spoke to them about my idea about wanting to have a bookstore. And they were like, we have a great place for it. The collective, we're opening. It's, you know, they told me what it was. And they were like, we would love to have you. So here I am.
Now, you were telling me before we started taping that from idea to, hey, we're doing this, can you be open, was what, 2 months?
I don't even know if it was 2 months, to be honest. It was very fast.
So, I mean, how did you suddenly, you know, did you have to learn, where do I get inventory? How do I do everything?
Yes.
Where do I get shelving, displays, all of that?
A lot of research in a very fast period of time. And I talked to some other indie bookstore owners, and they kind of helped me a little bit. But honestly, a lot of online research on, you know, where do you even buy books at? You know, I know nothing, like not
one of my recent guests was like, I started asking people, like, how do you pay taxes, or
yep.
where do you get books from?
That was pretty much me. I was like, which the tax part I kind of knew because I was a town clerk. So,
okay.
you know, I kind of knew about that part of it. So I knew how to go online.
Which can be a tricky part. I mean,
yes.
that was a good knowledge set to have.
It really was, because even navigating like online to get your West Virginia business license and all that, and registering for a FEIN number and all that, it's tricky.
Yeah.
So I kind of already knew that. So that
and government websites are never easy to navigate.
No. And they want, you have to have all your I's dotted and T's crossed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was the easy part for me. The hard part was learning how to get things.
Right.
You know, where to buy books, what is a wholesaler? Because I had no clue.
Well, you obviously learned very fast.
Yes, I did. It was a crash course in business 101.
So tell us about what you offer, because you do a blend of new and used books and some gift items too.
Yes. I started out with just used books strictly because it was such a fast process. I didn't even have time to get an account with anybody, like not even Ingram or publishers. So it was just used books that I had collected from donations, estate sales, yard sales, things like that. So it was just used books at first. And then I've slowly, you know, got into newer books and newer items. I offer a little bit of everything. I want everybody to be able to come to Maple Grove Books and find something for themselves. Regardless of what it is, you know, it's a non-judgmental zone. I want you to come feel comfortable and be happy when you leave. So it's a little bit of everything.
Do you have any idea in your mind of your ratio of, you know, I have this percentage of my inventory's new and versus used?
I would say probably about 75% is used and the rest is new.
And you were telling me earlier, which is kind of interesting, you decided not to separate your new from your used. Yes. You kind of put it all together.
I did. Just because I feel like, you know, when you have that separation of new and used, one or the other is going to kind of get left out. So I had the idea to kind of just intermingle them. And it really has worked out. There'll be people to come in and be like, you know, you have used books. And I tell them, yes, all the used books are marked specifically with a white sticker on the back for price. And the new books are just their barcodes. And people seem to really be enjoying it. It's, you know, it's they don't care that it's mixed up. And it helps move things better, I think.
What tends to sell well for you?
Honestly, used books are a big seller. Because, you know, the price point's always cheaper. All of my used books are under $10. That's just something that I did for my community because, you know, I live in a very, you know, poverty-stricken area. And, you know, $10 is a lot for some people. And I want them to be able to get a book, too. So, you know, $10 is a good price point, 10 and under. So used books really move. But honestly, like the littler things, I was kind of surprised at how much, like, stickers and, you know, coloring books and things like that sell.
Well, even like bookmarks, I noticed some of those over there. So the shop has only been open. We're taping in January, so you've only been open a few months.
Almost three. The 14th will make 3 months.
Almost 3 months. So I know this is a broad question, but what's it been like?
Great, actually.
And those 3 months, let's say too, were during the holiday season.
Yes, they were, which is one reason why they opened up so early, because they wanted to kind of hit that sweet zone, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's been great. Like, it's been everybody's been very positive and very supportive. Like, the community has been awesome. But it's everybody, it was something they didn't know they needed until it was here. Nobody ever thought to have a bookstore. Like, I think somebody told me the last bookstore was 30 years ago. So.
Well, listeners, I grew up probably 20 minutes from here. And there were no bookstores. I used to come over here and shop. And I can't remember, there was a mall. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s and the 80s, malls were popular. But I can't remember if there was a bookstore in the mall.
It wasn't in the mall. It was actually on 3rd Avenue, which is just, you know, next door. Mm-hmm. But it was called the Book Nook, which is ironically what I almost called my shop. I didn't know anything about the other bookstore, and I almost called it the Book Nook. But I was like, no, I feel like that's been done before. And I was correct.
So how did you arrive at the name Maple Grove?
Actually, my sister-in-law, we were just kind of throwing around some ideas. And I was like, I need to help with the name because that is not where my strengths lie. So I was like, help me come up with a name. I want it to be related to West Virginia somehow. So she was like, well, the sugar maple is the West Virginia State Tree. And so at first it was a little bit, it was the Sugar Maple books. And I was like, that sounds like a bakery.
Cookbooks.
Yeah. I was like, it's a little too, you know, bakery name. So I dropped the sugar. And so I was like, you know what? Maple Grove sounds really cool. And it sounds very booky and, you know, the vibe that I was going for, I guess.
It sounds like comforting and welcoming. And probably not used elsewhere, because it can be tough to try and name a bookshop something that somebody else isn't already using.
It really is. Like, if you have the word book in your name, it's going to be somewhere.
It's been done.
Yes, but Maple Grove was free and available. So,
how was your first Christmas season?
Busy. It was very busy. And I had a lot of specialty orders. That was also something that kind of surprised me. People come in and asking, like, can you get this book for me? And I mean, yeah, of course. So I kind of offer people a discount for ordering from me, because thank you for ordering when you could have got it somewhere else.
I mean, did you hear from customers, oh, thank God we finally have a bookstore here? Are you hearing that a lot?
Yes. Everybody is very like, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so happy that you come to Wimpson. Thank God you opened. We needed this. Everybody's very supportive and happy.
Has anybody told you, like, I was having to buy books somewhere? Like, where were the readers in the community shopping from? Do you know?
Yeah.
Well, yourself was a reader in the community.
Yes. The closest bookstore was Charleston. We had to go.
Which is about an hour and a half away.
Yeah, because listeners. There was a bookstore in Logan for a while, but that closed down. But the closest bookstore was Books a Million in Southridge.
So you're driving an hour and a half, basically, to get to a chain bookstore, which isn't helping your small community at all.
Right. I mean, there are, you know, other bookstores in Charleston, too. And, you know, I frequented them as well. But, you know, it's still a drive, you know.
Yeah.
Even Pikeville, like, they had a bookstore open up over there for a hot second, and they closed. So, you know, jumping into the bookstore business was a little scary. But so far, it's been great.
Well, you know, if I've learned anything from this podcast, it's that the independent bookstore is upwardly mobile.
Yeah.
Even here in West Virginia, we've opened 7 or 8 since the pandemic, and only lost 2 or 3, which was a surprising thing for me to learn. So how has it been to be in this space with other, you know, small business owners who, some of which sell things that pair really well with books? Has it been a good place to be?
Yes, it has. Like, in all aspects, it's been great. Everybody, I call them my sister shops. The guys probably wouldn't appreciate the sister term, but that's okay. But everybody is really supportive. And like, if I have, you know, a promotion going on, they push it. You know, if they have something going on, I help push their stuff. It's, you know, and, you know, if somebody comes in for the bookstore, then they're going to look around at the other things too, and vice versa. So everybody kind of really helps each other out.
Have you had any experience with a customer or anything in your few months of doing this that really shocked you or surprised you?
Not so much. Honestly, everybody has been very nice and very like excited about everything. I would say the most surprising thing is the amount of things people buy. Like, it's just,
what do you mean?
Like, it's just surprising to me. Like, you know, people just come in and they're just happy.
They just stock up.
Yeah. Like, they're just happy to, like, get all the stuff. And I'm just like, wow, thank you.
Now, one interesting thing when you're in here, there's one cash register. Like, everybody doesn't operate their own sales separately. So how does that, is that helpful or is that tricky to navigate?
It's extremely helpful. I personally love how we have it set up. We use the square system, and everything is in different categories. So all the shops have their own category. And if you buy, like, you can go around to every shop and get something from every shop if you want to and purchase
and check out once.
Yes. It's kind of like Capital Market, how they have like one point of sale.
Mm-hmm. That's in Charleston.
It's the farmer's market in Charleston. Yeah. But they have one point of sale, and it's kind of like that. You go and get whatever you want, and you take it up to the front, and it's all separated in the system. So, like, if you get, you know, a book from me, it's going to go to me. If you get coffee from CC Coffee and Tea Interest, it's going to go to her. So, you know, it's separated very well, and it makes it very easy not only on us but the customer as well.
And probably, too, if you're a staff of one, but you can't be here 40 hours a week or however many hours the place is open, people can still shop with you if you're not physically here.
Yes. And that's another thing that is very helpful with how we're set up. You know, everybody here mostly has a, you know, a regular 9-to-5, 40-hour a week job. And, you know, they can't be here all the time for their small business. So having it here with, you know, one employee, it really helps them be able to have a business like this and still work their normal job, but still, you know, have the income from their shop.
So what are the hours of the building?
We are open Monday through Thursday from 10 to 7, and then Friday from 10 to 8, and Saturday 11 to 8. We wanted to, everything in Wimpson closes kind of at 5 o'clock. So
roll up the streets when the sun goes down.
Yeah, like it's a ghost town after 5. So we wanted to give people something to do after that, you know, hang out.
So, and is that working? Is that getting the crowd in?
It's been a little slow on that end of it because, you know, people are used to not being here after 5. Like, okay, work's done, let's go, you know.
Let's go home and watch television.
Yeah. So it's been, but people are starting to be more like, oh, they are open. We can go and do things. So, and we're trying to have, you know, events and things for those times to let people know, come in, you know, come in, hang out.
So how many hours a week do you think you're here?
I'm here every day with the exception of Monday and Wednesday. But other than that, I'm here.
So you mentioned events. I know I was here for a book signing, like we said, and I know you've had some others. How are the events going?
Really good. We have a good variety of events because we have a good variety of shops. You know, the collective has, we have a food venue, we have clothing, we have house decor. We have coffee. We've had coffee classes where you learn how to make specialty coffees. We had breakfast with Santa, you know, and Southern Mercantile, you know, they provided the pancakes for that. And, you know, CC Coffee and Teenagers provided the coffee and hot chocolate. You know, we have a kids boutique, and she has talked about, you know, doing things with that. And we have a women's boutique, and we have a little cup place that they do great. So, I mean, everybody has something to do, and it really helps with events.
And I mentioned that I grew up not too far away, and we would shop here a lot, but that I hadn't been over here in probably 20 years. Is having this here really helping sort of bolster, you know, downtown revitalization?
I would like to think so. You know, people, we have a lot of tourism here, you know, with the trail system and stuff. We're right in the middle of the Hatfield-McCoy trail system, and, you know, people go over to the Coal House all the time, and they tell them, you know, is there anything to do? Is there anything to do after everything closes? And for a long time, it wasn't. So I really think it's helping get traffic going, and even local traffic, like, you know, just people that live here, they're coming. They're going to town.
That's, I mean, when I pulled up, I got the last parking spot on the street.
Yeah, like, finding a parking spot is rough sometimes. Like, it gets packed.
Well, imagine for a tourist community, for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of others, finding a bookstore when I travel is number one priority.
Yes.
Forget about restaurants. I want to find a bookstore. Are you finding some out-of-town shoppers?
Yes, I am. We actually had a couple from Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah, they came in the other day, and they said, you know, they usually go a different route. They kind of stay on the main highways, and they decided to come down this way because they had heard about Three Guys Pizza, and they wanted to shop around, and they come in here, and they were like, this is amazing. Hmm. You know, I didn't realize Wimpson had, you know, little shops like this.
What were they passing through to do? Were they doing the trail system?
No. They were going, their son lives in Alabama.
Huh.
And they live on.
And they found their way here.
Yep. They say we go through Beckley is the way they go. And they decided to do a different route this time. So,
When we say the trail system, it's a huge, massive ATV four-wheeler trail system that runs, maybe not throughout the state, but throughout the southern part of the state.
It's ginormous. Yeah. Like, it's everywhere down here. It's very big tourism attraction.
Now, one of the things that I like to ask my guests, and I know my listeners like it too, what are some of your favorite books, either to hand sell when a customer asks for a recommendation, or since you're so new, maybe just some of your favorite books that you that you know you want to stock in your shop?
I am a romance reader. And
which is a hot genre.
Yes, it is. My little section of romance, I call it the spice rack.
Which I love.
Because, you know, TikTok really helps push and sell those things.
Yes.
Which I am very appreciative of. But it also gives you really good ideas. Like TikTok research really lets you know what books are going.
Yeah. I've had guests on the show who say we have a TikTok display just because of readers come in all the time saying, do you have Colleen Hoover or do you have this or that that's popular because of TikTok?
It really, it's a big thing. And I realize that I probably should have a TikTok, but I don't know how to do that. So,
favorite reads?
Right now, I am reading a series that I'm very much enjoying. It is, let me make sure I am telling you the author name right.
And I'll put it in the show notes if you get it wrong. That's okay.
it's called The Mate Games. It's should be on the spice rack. We'll say that. And it's by Meg Ann. And it's very well written. And I think I like that more in books than I do anything else. Cause if a book isn't well written, then I don't enjoy it as much.
Right.
And, so I probably recommend those right now. Probably just because I'm reading them at the moment, but they're still very good books. But one of my absolute favorite books of all time is Act Your Age, Eve Brown by Talia Hibbert. And it is about a special needs woman who is on the journey to find herself, and she finds love in the process. And I love it. It is just, it's funny. It has all the high points of what you want in a romance novel. But I mean, I laughed out loud reading that book.
Huh.
It's great. I love it. I recommend it to everybody.
Oh, and that's one more in my growing list of to be read books from doing this show. So the question that I always like to end with, and it's sort of my driving theme with this podcast, is that independent bookstores are magical places. So what is your take on an independent bookshop being a magical place? What does that sort of mean for you?
Honestly, it just means that when you walk in, you feel like you're welcome. For me, a magical experience is personal. You know, I want to go into an indie bookstore and talk and communicate with the employee or the owner, because that's what you get a lot of time, is the owner. And it's a special experience. You know, I personally love the fact that I can have somebody come in and they ask me for a recommendation and I can tell them and they get excited and I get excited. And for me, that's the magical part, is just the communication and the fellowship, because book lovers are special people and to get to communicate with them is special.
And are you learning about authors and books that you didn't know about that now you want to read or stock in the store?
All the time. And I love it, because I would have never thought to look into some of these authors if it wasn't for opening up Maple Grove. Like, it's been really cool and very enlightening, like, just to experience it. It's very fun. I love it.
So tell our listeners where they can find you online. You have social media handles, website, any of that?
Well, I'm working on a website right now, just because I'm very new. So a website is a big thing for me. But I am on Facebook under Maple Grove Books LLC. And that's the only social media I have right now. I'm working on the other things, but it's just a slow process. I didn't want to get too overwhelmed with all the aspects of the business. So I kind of just took it slow. And I think that's working for me.
So, and if you're nearby, the Collective is located in downtown Williamson. What's the street address?
We are at 68 Second Avenue, Williamson, West Virginia.
Thank you. So listeners, I kind of sprung this idea, like I think I said earlier, to sort of do this live in the shop. And I think it's gone well, and I think it's going to be a great episode. And thank you so much for agreeing to be a little bit of a guinea pig with me.
No problem. I feel like that's kind of been the whole thing with Maple Grove Books, is a guinea pig.
Bookstore Explorer is produced and hosted by me, Matt Browning. Our theme music is Come Right Back to You by Max Hickson. You can follow all my bookstore explorations at bookstoreexplorer.com or on Instagram and Facebook at Bookstore Explorer. And follow us on Twitter at BookstoreExplr. Thanks for listening.